On the 11th of September, 2024, the 14th Librarian of Congress, Dr. Carla Hayden, is hosting a showing of the award-winning documentary Sentenced in the Coleridge Auditorium of the Library of Congress before 500 VIP guests. This could be a historic event for literacy awareness in America, and I want to talk to David Austin, the board chairman of the Children's Literacy Project, about what makes this event so special. Join me for this important conversation. Hello, David. Welcome to Teach a Kid to Read.
Hello, Tony. Thanks for having me.
I know all about this Library of Congress event, and I'm super stoked about it. And I wanted to get you on just to hear about, because you're so instrumental in setting this whole thing up. Let me begin with this. I have been to DC maybe a dozen times in my life. Great experiences, historic buildings. But I must admit, I never once thought about going to the Library of Congress. Like, it didn't occur to me as one of the like cool places to show up until I met you. And then suddenly I was all excited about the Library of Congress, and you actually took me to the Library of Congress the first time I went. Tell me, David, why do you love the Library of Congress so much?
Well, first of all, I love the building itself is spectacular, and it rivals the Capitol building in terms of architecture, design, inspiration, and also telling a story. So the building itself has all kinds of stories written into it. The other piece I love about the library is the purpose that it serves. So the library was created by an act of Congress. There's this thing called the U.S. Copyright Law, and every book that is published or copyrighted, or a piece of music, or a movie, anything that's copyrighted, a copy of it goes to the Library of Congress, and it's held for researchers in the future. And you can go get your library card and check it out. And it's America's library. And over the last 200 years, it's collected hundreds of millions of books, records, pieces of music, and it's the keeper of America's story. And that's why it's such an amazing place, because it's probably arguably it's the greatest library in the history of civilization. And the building reflects that.
And it's beautiful. I mean, to walk around it, it's beautiful. I mean, quotes on the walls and all this inspiration, it makes you want to be a better person, be a smarter person. It's a temple to knowledge and learning and wisdom.
And you feel invited into it. And even though you feel small when you walk through, and there are these beautifully carved statues, or these cast statues in bronze that's carved in, others carved in marble, and then there's mosaic floors and mosaic ceilings. You're inspired by the names that are there, the quotes that are there, but you feel like you're in it. And that's the other thing I like about the library right now, is I like the current Librarian of Congress. She is, you haven't asked me this question, but I'm gonna tell you anyway why I love the library and the librarian. First female, and the first African-American, and she is so approachable, and she's trying to help the library instead of people like what you said. I went to Washington, D.C. I never went to the library.
Right.
Did I go 10 times? She's trying to bring the library to America. And I'll just give you one example. So you're familiar with Lizzo. Have you ever heard of Lizzo?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Great. She's great.
Lizzo goes to the Library of Congress, and one of the things that the librarian brings out to show her, because she understands that Lizzo plays the flute, is she brings out President James Madison's crystal flute. So this thing's 230 years old. It's priceless. And she says to Lizzo, would you like to play it in the reading room? And Lizzo plays this crystal flute in the reading room. And that, to me, is an example of how the librarian is saying, I want to bring America to America. I want to bring America's history to America. And then Lizzo says to the librarian, hey, I have a concert tonight here in Washington. Can I take the flute and play it at the concert? And the librarian says, no way. That thing's priceless.
Right. But
then the librarian says, you can bring it to the concert and you can play it when we put it into your hands. So the librarian takes her security team with this priceless flute of President Madison's, takes it to the concert. Lizzo plays this at the concert, and then it goes back into the box and back to the library. So that's where, when I say the librarian is trying to bring the library to America, she's trying to inspire who we are as a people, who we've been and who we can still be, and how we can use these assets to be the best of who we are.
Well, speaking of great showings and the Library of Congress backing great showings, this showing of Sentenced, the literacy documentary, this transformative literacy documentary, the Library of Congress is hosting a showing on the 11th of September. How did this come about? How did the librarian find out about the documentary, start to care about the documentary? Now she wants to host it for some of the greatest leaders in America today.
As you will see by the little symbol here underneath my name, it says I'm chair of the board of the Children's Literacy Project. So the Children's Literacy Project, we as an organization, we partner with other organizations around the country who are supporting literacy and helping teach kids to read. One of our partners is this fantastic network. It's an association of literacy support organizations called the Campaign for Grade Level Reading. And they are friends with a librarian. In fact, this woman, whose name is Joy Moore, who's an advisor to us, who's also a senior leader at the campaign, she and the librarian have been friends for a long time. And so she told the librarian about it. The librarian was interested. And now we have kind of a three-partner approach with the Campaign for Grade Level Reading, Children's Literacy Project, and the Library of Congress. And together, the three of our organizations are hosting this screening of the movie.
Okay, so paint the picture. Like, what's that night going to be like? What makes it so significant? Who's going to be in the room? Like, kind of help us kind of walk in and feel like we're a part of what's going to happen on the 11th of September.
Sure. Well, so I think, you know, first to like, why is the movie significant? We'll help explain why this space is significant and who the audience is significant. I would say that the summary of this movie, Sentenced, is what you learn is that illiteracy is a community problem. It's not something that's going to get solved by just saying, well, the schools need to teach kids how to read. When you watch this movie and you observe, like you realize, wow, this is far beyond the capacity of a school or just a teacher. Like the schools and teachers are doing their part and they're doing a yeoman's job and bringing all their resources there to help those kids. But in a lot of those cases, it's going to take a lot more community support. And so we've invited community leaders into this. And the librarian, she doesn't run a school. She doesn't run, she's not a reading tutor, but her institution is part of the ecosystem around literacy. In fact, it's the most significant cultural literacy space in America because it keeps America's story. That's what the library does, is it is the keeper of America's literary story. Both through literature, through publications, every magazine, right? Every news magazine, they're all kept there. And so she sits atop this great cultural literacy institution. So to host a movie there, in fact, this is really the release of the movie. We're not doing it in a traditional movie venue, but we're doing it in this preeminent spot for the leaders of the community of America, which includes business leaders. It includes, like, you know, Steph Curry's team, and he's, you know, Mr. Olympic basketball, NBA superstar, MVP. You know, so you've got folks from the sports world, you've got people from the business world, you've got philanthropists, you have policymakers from the national level, but also most importantly from the state and local levels. They're all going to be featured in the movie. After the movie, there's a panel with these folks discussing how does the community come around this issue to support kids so that we can help all kids have a fair shot and a chance to get the resources they need so that they can learn to read.
And for anybody who doesn't know, Steph Curry is actually a producer on the film Sentenced and also the narrator of the film. So mm-hmm. Stephen Curry, five-time NBA champion, Stephen Curry and gold medalist, is a part of the film and a part of the showing, as his voice will be a part of it. David, tell me why this issue, I mean, it's the 21st century. I think a lot of people just think everyone learns how to read. Everybody goes to school. We have schools in every neighborhood. And yet this issue of literacy and illiteracy in America is, for some reason, the librarian thinks it's important enough to show the film. Can you just kind of explain why this issue is important in a few sentences?
Yeah, only a third of kids entering fourth grade, currently, this is in America today, only a third of them are at reading level when they enter fourth grade. So far less than half. But in the way schools work, the way education works, children learn to read from K through third. That's their primary time to learn how to read. from fourth grade on, they have to know how to read in order to learn. So if you're not reading at proficiency level in fourth grade, you all of a sudden are feeling ashamed when you're in class because you can't read very well. You feel stupid, or you're feeling like, I don't want people to know that I can't read this. And so the kids start to fall behind. And what we're seeing, and this has been exacerbated by the pandemic, more and more kids are falling behind, and they don't have the support system at home or in their community to keep them at the front of their learning capabilities. It's not the kids who have lost the capacity to learn, but when they're in fourth grade and they can't, and they're not at grade level reading, they are going to quickly fall behind. And we have 1.25 million kids a year dropping out of schools in America right now. 1.25 million a year who are dropping out. So you've got, right now we have almost 40 million adults in America who are functionally illiterate. So this is becoming an increasingly problematic epidemic across the country for literacy, because people lose their capacity to thrive. They lose their capacity to apply for jobs or to apply for aid or to even help themselves, because there's a learned helplessness with illiteracy for so many of these folks. So that's why I think it's really important right now that we pull the community together. We look at this as a community and say, we're going to stop this trend. We got to move the needle in the other direction.
So this event on the 11th September is at the Library of Congress in their big auditorium. I imagine it's just going to be a beautiful event. I'm hoping to be there for it. David, is there anything about it you haven't told us, just about the splendor of it or the magic of it? That people should know about?
Well, it's hard, because when we talk about splendor and magic, we're also talking at the same time about poverty and illiteracy and deep, deep pain. And those two things typically are not congruent. So we're going to bring into one of America's preeminent institutions a tremendous social problem that's affecting our entire country. One of the things that is so clear is that illiteracy is not, it's not just confined to an urban community. This isn't a problem in the cities, and it's not just a problem in the rural communities. It's not like the folks that are living in Appalachia or far, you know, the forests of Oregon. It's everywhere. And it's not confined to one demographic. It's not color related. It's not a race related issue. It's not a religious issue. It's a national issue. It's everywhere. And that's why the library is an important place for us to start this conversation with national leaders, because it's affecting everybody. Every congressional district, every state, every governor is impacted by this.
That there's going to be governors in the room. There's going to be Congress people in the room. There's going to be heads of American industry in the room, people who work for Fortune 500 companies. There'll be social activists in the room, heads of large nonprofits. What's your dream? What's your prayer that will come out of this?
The one group you didn't mention was actually leaders from the faith community. And so we've also invited faith leaders into this, because as you know, Tony, I mean, you've helped educate me a lot about this. You know, the faith communities have traditionally been the ones that teach kids to read, you know, historically, not over the last 150 years, but the last 1500 years. The faith communities is where you would learn to read. And we want to inspire the faith communities to stay active in that place, for not just the faith communities, but all of these communities, whether it's industry. You know, businesses can be involved by giving their employees the motivation and the incentive to spend an hour a week reading to a kid. Or you can, you know, nonprofits who donate books. You know, the whole nonprofit culture in America is for the public good. This is one of, you know, literacy is one of those issues that is, it's nonpartisan. It's not religious. Everybody is for reading kids. There's only a few real social issues that everybody is for. One of them is making sure kids know how to read. So my aspiration, my hope, is that every sector of society, all of the different leaders that are there, whether they're from business, philanthropy, nonprofit, the faith community, media, they would all realize, wow, we have not been a part of keeping America's promise to its children. We are letting our kids fall behind. And it's an indictment on all of us that only a third of our fourth graders are at grade level reading. We are setting our country up for tremendous division and pain and conflict and poverty. You're setting yourself up for poverty if you're not teaching your kids to read. We're denying them the opportunity to engage in the beauty of the American ideal, which is the experience of freedom. If you can't read, you don't know what opportunities you have. You don't have access to opportunities. So if we let our children fall through the cracks, we're basically digging our own graves as a society, because we're allowing them to be swept away, to be controlled by others, or to be left alone. And that's wrong. That's a moral issue that is compelling across every religious, every ethical issue.
Also, go to childrensliteracyproject.org to stay on top of these and to learn how you can see the film sentence in the coming months, and also bring the film sentence to your community to help raise awareness. But more importantly, as David says, that we would actually impact the children of the next generation, that we would transform the future of our communities, our families, our country, for the better good, that we would bring freedom to all people through the gift of literacy, and we would stop living in a segregated country, segregated by those who can read and those who cannot. David, thanks again for your time. Keep watching this space. We appreciate it. This is Teach Kid to Read podcast, and we'll see you soon.
Thanks, Tony.
Teach a child to read. Give a child a chance. It's as simple as that.